is Wolf, and I work in Paris at a company called QuantStack. And we are mainly dabbling in robotics and data science. And my colleague here, Deep, is working at Reputa Robotics. And we wanted to make this presentation about ROS and the Jupyter Notebook. And a lot of, I'll give you a quick overview of what's going to happen. So here's the table of contents. So first of all, we're going to talk about what is the project Jupyter and what are interactive widgets in this context. And then we'll see ROS in the notebooks, what are the challenges and what kind of solutions can we propose to that. And then we'll look at some cool visualizations inside of the Jupyter notebook, specially made for ROS. And so just to give you a bit of an overview, what the Jupyter notebook is. The Jupyter notebook is an interactive browser-based computing environment. It's usually used in exploratory data science, machine learning, visualization, analysis, and statistics. So I guess a couple of people here have probably already heard about the Jupyter notebook since it's been around for a while, and there has been quite some explosive growth, especially it's like riding on this AI hype train a bit. But the Jupyter notebook is also a reproducible document format, so you can mix code with narrative text that is represented in Markdown and then renders like what you can see here. You can also have equations. It's probably pretty small, but maybe some people of you have already seen it. So you can basically write LaTeX and then it will show up. And you can have images and visualizations. And the notebook, when you start Jupyter, you can select the kernel. And the kernel is actually what is executing your code. So you send a snippet of code. Usually, like most people associate Jupyter probably with Python, so you could send a string of Python code and then it gets executed in the kernel. But Jupyter is actually more or less just a messaging format, so in that sense it's kind of similar to ROS. And the messaging protocol supports, or basically there are backends, like kernels, for over 50 programming languages. One of the other programming languages that is supported is C++, actually. There's a Jupyter kernel that QuantStack is also involved with, which is called SysKling, and if you're interested in C++ and interactive C++, you should check it out. And most things around the Jupyter notebook are open source and BSD license. So again, a similarity to ROS. And beyond the Jupyter notebook, the project Jupyter has a bunch of other features that I'm going to showcase in a moment. So there's a file browser, there are these notebooks that I already mentioned, and there's a terminal. You have a code editor, the different kernels, and you get interactive output. And now we are moving on to interactivity in IPy widgets and what it means. So IPy widgets are a means to create UI elements from within the Jupyter notebook. And you get a two-way value connection. And I'm going to demonstrate this now. So try to switch over to my locally running Jupyter. Yeah, one of the other cool things about being browser-based is that Jupyter, when you host it somewhere, it runs on any kind of client, so whether someone uses Windows or Mac OS X, it will also run easily there. So here I have a notebook. This is the Jupyter Lab, which is the newer version of the Jupyter notebook, basically the successor. You see that I have different tabs up here. I have a Markdown cell that I can edit, and I have links that I inserted, and then you can click them, and so on. You can have code inside of that, et cetera, et cetera. So here we have a code cell. I'm going to execute some Python. Those people who are familiar with that, they have seen this probably 1,000 times. This is real Python. You can do anything, basically. But now we want to create UI elements. I'm going to show you that if we import the int slider from IPy widgets, and then we instantiate one of those sliders and assign it to the variable slider. And then we just basically output slider here. It will show up like this. So this is the representation of this variable slider. And now if I move it, the value here changes. And I said before, so this slider here is a JavaScript element, which is rendered in the browser. But there is this two-way data connection. So if I access the slider.value from the Python side here, I would see that it gives me the 76, which I have selected here. If I change it again and look at the value, it's 45. So that's what I mean. And now to look at the other side of the two-way, if I assign a value from Python, here I say equals 20, and then the slider jumps to 20. And if I create another instance of the slider, or another output of the same slider, I see that the values are linked. Because now what we see is that we have a kernel here, which is in this case Python, but actually there's also a C++ implementation of this widget backend. So you could do the same with a C++ kernel. And then there's a widget model and a view. So these are the views, and they both derive from the same widget model. So whenever I change the value in one of those sliders, the widget model will also carry out the value of the other slider. And then we can also do other widgets. So IPyWidget, the package itself, contains this glue code to have the messaging set up and everything. And it contains a bunch of like simple widgets that you can easily use to create more complex GUIs. So here I have a checkbox, for example. I can see its value is either true or false. Then if I check it and I set the value to false, then it will uncheck up there. I can also link two widgets. So here I'm creating an int text and an int slider. And then I call link on text and slider, and I link the value of both of them. So if I move this, the text will also change. Because again, they basically are linked over this value. We can also react on whatever input we get from the widgets. So here I have a callback, which is update style. Once I click the button, the style of the button changes, and so on. And this callback is, again, in Python. And then we can just see a bunch of other widgets. So here's a color picker, in case you ever need one. There's a date entry, and here's a play, pause, and stop. And you can also have, for example, images. So if you ever do something with image recognition and you want to see some fancy output quickly, then you can do here. I'm going to compute the edges and change the image up there, the source, automatically, and then it just changes. So you could also do an animation or whatever you want with this. So that's one of the kind of that's the basic building block of what widgets in the Jupyter context actually are. And now we're going to go further, and I'm just going to show you these. So here's one called IPyLeaflet, which is a more advanced example of a map-based widget. So you can interactively set some geolocations here, and it will show markers and other features like overlay stuff. And then there's a plotting library called BQplot, which also follows this widget principle. So if I just, I will just show you a bunch of, oops, that was not the first plot. So this is just plotting a NumPy array here. You can see I get this right in the notebook. And when I assign some new value to scatter.y here, it will automatically change because, again, the value is bound in this two-way data connection. So, and then you can also do stuff like, for example, add a selection. So here I'm selecting a bunch of values. Then I can look at scatter.selected, and I get the indices of the values that were selected. I can also do stuff like pie charts, or you can do scatter plots with a color scale. And you can have, what I really wanted to show, interactions with other widgets. So here, again, I have a button from IPyWidget, and I have the BQplot. When I click the button, I just assign some new values to the data, random values, and it will change automatically. So that's the basic of how IPyWidgets and widgets in general work. There's one other library that I wanted to quickly mention, which is called IPyVolume. And now we go up to the challenges of ROS and Jupyter Notebooks. So as I said, most people associate Jupyter with Python. And indeed, when you wanted to use historically Jupyter and ROS in a Jupyter notebook, you quite quickly run into some problems because ROS Python is actually a multi-threaded output. And when you, for example, print something in a subscriber, you'll get output all over the place in the Jupyter notebook. You don't have a handy way to stop threads from within the notebook because there's no real handle on the thread. And now we have some, we've kind of tried to solve this with some Python and Jupyter magic. So I'm going to show that in the basic notebook here. So there's a library called Jupyter ROS that was published in around February. And it contains some of these helper functions that I was mentioning. So here I'm just importing this Jupyter ROS library and the RosPy library. I init the node. I make a publisher for test, and it has a string message type. And the library goes into the message type, figures out what kind of data is inside of the message, and adds a text field here. And one other feature of Jupyter is you can make the question mark and then you get the help output. So here I see I can do Jupyter subscribe with topic, message type, and callback. So I'm subscribing to this, and this generates me this output widget. And all stuff that comes from the callback, that's printed in the callback, will go to this output widget. So when I send the message now, I see that something arrives down here. And this is sent through ROS and then received in the Jupyter Python. And you can do that with more complex messages. So for example, here is a post message. And then it goes and looks, OK, all are float fields, so I can make some sliders. And then you can subscribe to that, which can send it, and then you get a post message. And then one other feature is the live plotting. Not sure if this is going to work now, since the internet is pretty slow. OK, it's not going to work. And then more complex widgets are the ROS3D widgets, which is basically, which is the next step up. So many things in ROS are obviously 3D because our robots are usually in 3D. So thanks to ROSLib.js and ROS3D.js, we were able to create some basic 3D widgets here. Here I'm just creating a 3D viewer. Then I have a grid model. I add this grid model as an object to the 3D viewer. Then I can change the cell size, automatically get updated. I can make another grid model. I can give it a different color and cell size, and it's there. And then I can change the layout of the widget itself. I can add a laser scan, and then since I have a ROSBack playing in the background, I can see a laser scan going on here. And other things that you can do in the Jupyter Lab is, for example, you can create new view for the output, and you will get a new tab. Then you can move the tab somewhere and have it on the side all the time. But I'm going to remove this for now. And now the last example that I want to show for something that kind of combines all of these widgets together into one thing is when I want to create a joint state publisher, which is similar to the Qt joint state publisher. So I have a UR3 robot that I simulate in the backend, and I just create a bunch of buttons and put that into a form. So here I have all these sliders for the different joints, and I have center and randomize, and now I again create a 3D viewer. I show the viewer. I add a URDF model, and I can see the robot now. But I can also combine those widgets into one by using an HBox and adding those two widgets to the box. And now you have basically a joint state publisher with a 3D viewer on the side. So you can use this to move the robot around and click on randomize to get random positions and so on. And now another tool in the toolbox of Jupyter people basically is called Voila. So Voila is a it's a tool to generate dashboards automatically from notebooks. So if you have those widgets and you want to remove all of this code basically, you can just execute Voila on this Jupyter notebook and it will automatically create only the widgets and remove all of the code that was in between. So here we get basically a standalone server that serves the IPy widgets that I showed. You still have all the callbacks from Python, so when I change the stuff here, it changes the robot state. So that's how you can ship an application made with Jupyter and Python to, for example, customers. And now my colleague Deep is going to show some more interesting visualizations.
So my part of the presentation requires a stable internet connection, which is difficult to find in this room. So I pre-recorded the video around 15 minutes ago, and I'm going to demo the same right now. So let's start from the beginning. So you've seen the Jupyter notebook, and we build two widgets for visualization of ROS data and two corresponding widgets for Jupyter. And to start with, I'll give a live demo of how the widgets can be used programmatically to add visualizations very easily. And later I'll give a user interface where you can add visualizations without any coding by just giving a simple configuration. So you can see that in the beginning I import the library, and here I try to connect to two WebSocket endpoints. One of them is running locally and the other one is running through our cloud service. It's deployed somewhere on the cloud, and this is live data that we receive from the cloud. So next thing I wanted to emphasize is the library has support for a lot of viewers. To start with, we have a TF viewer. We just create the TF viewer by giving a ROS WebSocket connection, and we add two visualizations to the TF viewer by just the two lines of code. The first one is the robot model, and the next is the odometry. So in the odometry, you can see the topic name, and the TF for the robot model, you can see the description, the robot param, ROS param that's used for the URDF. And I just add both of these to the TF viewer, and you can see with just three, four lines of code, you can get started with the visualizations. And to expand on that, we have other viewers, and one of them is the 3D viewer. This one is for more simplistic applications where you don't really need the join states to move corresponding to the TF message that you receive in the TF viewer. So this is a static robot model that's added. This is the TurtleBot. And going on, we have a 2D viewer. 2D viewer is more useful when we have a navigation stack, where one of our applications we build for our clients is a navigation stack where we needed to visualize the cost map and the path that the robot is going to take. So here we just add, in three lines, we add the path, pose, and the map. All three of them to the viewer, and this is the basic view, and you can see that the controls are only 2D plane. I can also change the color scheme. There are a lot of options. This is just one of the options that we give, and it updates in real time. So next thing is some more complex visualizations that require something more than a 2D viewer. So this is a slight repetition of the one that I already showed. So moving along, now what you've seen is a very easy to use API. By just adding two, three lines to your application in Jupyter, you can visualize the remote data. And now what I'm going to show you is an easy to use configuration that we've created just for the application that you don't need to write any code. So we start with an empty environment. And this has, if you see on the left, we have panels with a display true or false, and we have more options for changing the background or the grid size and others. And we give a WebSocket endpoint and we connect to it. And once we connect to the WebSocket endpoint, we can change the, here I have a JSON that just represents the visualization that I want to add. So instead of writing code for adding the visualizations, you can just give a configuration of JSON that lets you add the visualizations. So the JSON that you've seen before, it tells you the name of the visualization and the topic that you need to subscribe to, and whether the visualization is visible in the view. And we have other interactions for resizing them or making them full screen. So this is an example of a more complex visualization. We add a robot model, the same robot model that you've seen previously for the TurtleBot. We add it to the scene, and you can see the TurtleBot here at the origin. And similarly, I've added one more visualization for the laser scan. And to add to that, finally, there are two more. So this is the ending of the visualization that I wanted to show, where you can also visualize odometry and the TF. And we have a lot more of these. So I think that's it.
All right, we're already going a little bit into the coffee break. Any quick questions?
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much for your great presentation. I have one question. Where can I download your example files?
Paste it.
So for the visualization part that I showed, we have a live endpoint that's available here, where you can just give a WebSocket and view the and this is both the widgets that I demoed just now are open source, and you can see the source code here. And for the Jupyter part,
yeah, the other library, Jupyter ROS, has a folder notebook, and then you